This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and welcome to Catholic Review Radio. With us today on the show is Mauro Borelli, director and one of the writers of a new movie, The Last Supper. You know the story. Mauro Borelli is a visionary director and screenwriter with a background in fine art, blending cinema, storytelling, and visual artistry. His creative expertise has led him to collaborate with some of the most renowned filmmakers in the industry, including Francis Ford Coppola, Bernardo Bertolucci, Tim Burton, Quentin Tarantino, Ang Lee, Gus Van Sant, Roland Emmerich, and Terry Gilliam, to name just a few. His debut film that he wrote and directed, La Donna del Moro, was awarded Best Short Film at the Venice Film Festival. The Last Supper is his 12th movie as director. Welcome to the show, Moro.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So did you base this movie on one specific gospel, or did you kind of put in many of the synoptics and some of the rest of the New Testament?
Well, because I wanted to expand the moment of the Last Supper. And you know, it is a very short episode in the gospel, as well as is treated very shortly in many other movies that shows the life of Jesus. And I wanted to expand it. So I need to take every gospel and trying to kind of balance that and make something, bigger, So yes, I read all four gospels and also part of the Torah, because moment is the Passover, and it happened during the Jewish celebration of the Passover. So I needed to know more about, the food, the tradition, and all that.
Right. That makes sense to bring in the Hebrew scripture as well. But why focus on the Last Supper? The crucifixion is barely alluded to, and no spoiler alerts here. We know how the story goes. But we witness some of Christ's interactions with the apostles after the resurrection. But you really get into Holy Week and just the Last Supper. Why that?
Because, coming from art, I was fascinated with going into churches when I was a kid and watching all those paintings, watching the Leonardo da Vinci. And I remember the task for those artists was, in one single painting, they had to do a representation of something that was so important, And I'm like, what if that Leonardo da Vinci Last Supper was going to be expanded? And then I did a research and I found out nobody ever did a movie that was really exploring that, and not even a play in the theater. So I'm like, what a beautiful challenge, like a Renaissance a painter that has the challenge to do a representation that will become the image printed in the eyes of the Christians, like a Catholic watching those images, now they can see for the first time. So I want to give that experience to those millions of people that celebrate the Easter time, they celebrate the Eucharistia, and so let's give them something to bite on, to see. So for me, that was the motivation. So I decided to explore that particular moment. But obviously, to make a movie more, let's say, complete, I need a little bit to prepare the moment and also to conclude the moment with, obviously, for me, the resurrection. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I tried to put into those, let's say, opening, before the supper and after the supper, I want to be consistent with the Eucharistia, with the bread. So for me, God feeding us, Jesus feeding us with the bread of life, that was the theme. So really, it's about the bread, the body of Jesus is the bread. That's what the whole movie is.
Yeah, I mean, the movie starts with Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the bread of life discourse in chapter 6 of John's gospel. That was intentional, obviously, that you put that bread of life nourishment, physical nourishment, and then tied that in, as John does in the gospel, to the bread of life that is going to give us salvation. When you try to do that, though, it's very interesting because bread becomes such an important part of many parts of this movie. The apostles are eating it, sharing it, doing all of that before the five loaves and fish come up. It's an important part of the Passover meal. When you looked at that, how did you make sure that you're talking really about the kind of bread that's going to give us forever life, not just nourishment for today?
Well, you know, you walk on a very fine line there, because as a filmmaker, it's very easy to go into something that goes in contradiction with the scripture, you know. So I had to research as much as I could about also other part of the gospel and see that I was not in contradiction with. So stay on the right line. And obviously, when you make a movie, you have to take some license, because the movie want to tell something that is not there. But at least I wanted to keep the spirit in the right place. I felt like that even if I add maybe a line or something that they said, you know, that is not in the scripture, if I can keep the spirit aligned, that will be the best movie I can do, you know, especially if the movie is not aiming to be controversial, but is aiming to be uplifting for the spirit, you know what yes. I mean? And I didn't want to have like a Jewish community, or I wanted to be, everybody should be kind of enlightened by this historical also moment. You know, we had a screening at the Chinese theater like last week, a premiere, and all in Hollywood, you know, is everybody's in Hollywood. You have a Christian evangelical, you have Orthodox, you have a Catholic, you have non-believer, and you have Muslims, right? And everybody came to me, a couple of Muslims came to me and they say, wow, we didn't know about Jesus' story like this. This was so touching, you know? So I felt like, oh my God, this is my achievement, is that the movie will talk to everybody and everybody will see Jesus and in this movie, and they will appreciate the spiritual uplifting. So it's a movie that makes you feeling, I want people feeling good after it, you know, mm-hmm. like when you watch Leonardo da Vinci painted, you know.
Yeah. You know, and you say you want people feeling good about it, but this movie, in similar ways to Jesus Christ Superstar, really kind of focuses on Judas as a key character in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It seems to be, I couldn't tell, is he confused? Is he crazy? Is he disturbed? He seems to know that Jesus was true, yet he still betrays him. Uh-huh. How did you put all that together and give that motivation to the actor playing Judas so he can bring that out?
Well, look, you know, the first thing that came to my mind is when I, you know, because everybody knows about the Judas betrayal. He's almost become the Agatha Christie moment into that moment, right? Sure. It's like when, you know, I'm thinking, how is possible this guy was with Jesus for 3 years? He saw his miracle, he saw everything, and then silently decide to betray. It doesn't make sense to me. There must be something that is taking, there's something like in his soul, a temptation or something that kind of push him on the wrong path, and then he doesn't have the strength, you know. At a certain point, I had something that I wanted to show, and then unfortunately I was not able to shoot it, but I want to show that Peter feels guilty for not having seen completely where Judah was going, and not having offer. It's like this, right? Peter want to do, you know, we know he become the first pope, right? So sure. His ambition to teach to the crowd, to become, to he feels he has a big mission in life, bigger than just being a fisherman, right? And this mission is pushing Peter to want to do bigger than life things, big, you know? But Judah, who is next to him, like his brother, is falling into the darkness. And because he's looking at the big picture, he doesn't see that somebody next to him is falling in the dark. And I thought that message was good because in many families, we have somebody in our family, a brother or a child or a kid, you know, that they start to go. And we are so busy with our work, with our things, and then we don't see that. And sometimes we have to pay attention. First of all, within our family, the one that are close to us, how can we help them? And I felt like that was a good, I couldn't really completely shoot in the moment, but
yeah.
But yes, like you say, Judah is not a black and white villain. Is somebody, and also is necessary because his betrayal is almost like that is almost like is necessary for Jesus to do what he does. So
yes.
How much of Judah responsibility, if it's so necessary, you know, there must be something that that he has to do, you know, so it's bigger than him. So I want to show that. I want to show that how he diverged from the path and how he's listened to the voice of Satan and Satan take his heart versus Peter, that Peter is stronger because he has faith and prayer, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to you some more about that after the break. We're going to take a quick pause here, and we'll be right back after the break with Mauro Borelli, who is director of the new movie, The Last Supper.
Where can a Master of Theological Studies take you? At Loyola University, Maryland, our program prepares you for careers with nonprofits, religious ed, campus ministry, law, social work, and higher ed. Choose from three specialized tracks or our certificate in theology and ministry. Experience small classes, mentoring, networking opportunities, and more. Apply by August 1st for this fall. Learn more at loyola.edu/theology.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Parish leaders across the Archdiocese of Baltimore gathered at St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Kearney March 15th for a safety training session on preventing violence. The three-hour Threat Evaluation and Reporting Overview seminar, hosted by the Archdiocese Office of Risk Management, aimed to help church staff recognize warning signs and take preventive action. Lieutenant Catherine Greenbeck of Baltimore County Police highlighted behaviors linked to potential violence, including erratic behavior, isolation, and financial struggles. She stressed the importance of early intervention and situational awareness. Participants, including pastors, ushers, and law enforcement, discussed past incidents and security improvements, such as federal grants for safety upgrades. Officials encourage parishes to collaborate on safety measures and contact the Office of Risk Management for further resources. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Maryvale Preparatory School in Lutherville celebrated the 10th anniversary of its Patricia J. Mitchell Leadership Institute on March 13th by hosting Dr. Linda Gazelle, Clinical Professor of Managerial Psychology at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. Gazelle led workshops for students and faculty, emphasizing that leadership is a skill anyone can develop. She shared insights from her book, Choosing Leadership, and encouraged students to define leadership for themselves. The event honored key figures behind the Institute's success, highlighted its impact on young leaders, and reinforced Maryvale's commitment to fostering leadership skills in future generations. Attendees engaged in discussions, explored personal leadership styles, and reflected on how leadership shapes communities and personal growth. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm George Matisek.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. Our guest today is Mauro Borelli, who is director and one of the writers for the new movie, The Last Supper. Mauro, before the break, we were talking about Judas and Peter. And one of the things that I wondered was, you know, what's the difference really between, you show Peter's anguish over his own denial. First, he says, of course, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. I love you too much. Then he does. And he's just heartbroken about this. What's the difference between his denial and Judas's betrayal? Because one is a pariah and the other one becomes the rock on which the church is built. How do you reconcile that?
Well, think how beautiful it is in a movie to be able to see a metaphor of our human condition, us as humans, right? And those two characters represent us somehow. One who has the choice to take the right path and redeem himself and be restored. And the other one that fell into the darkness and more and more and more. And so putting those two together, it was a great opportunity for audience to say, I want to be Peter.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's important to see those contrast so you can make a choice as an audience. You know, you can see that there is hope. And even when we go through our worst dark moment, Jesus loves us. Jesus will always, you know, and so that's why Jesus say, I pray for you, Peter, because the strength, this is another important thing that I think the movie pointing out, that Peter believes that he's so unshakable, so strong, and that he's the most, powerful of the group. He feel like everybody may fail, not him, because he's so self-confident, you know? And then at the end, fear or circumstance make him denial. So what shows that he's fragile? So this shows that as a human being, let's not be arrogant, because we are fragile by nature. So how does he get the strength? Not through his own strength, because he already been proved fragile, but through the strength that is brought to him by Jesus. And so Jesus is the one that gives the strength. And Judah doesn't look for that. But right. Judah is an orphan, is because, you know, that's what is the point of his whole life, is to have Jesus do what he has to do. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, that's what for me the dramatic arc of the story. So I you know, and also I felt like we have so many movies when you see Jesus as the main star of the whole story, especially when you see from when he was born and you see the crucifixion and all that. Here I want to put Jesus more like is something that is almost above everybody, somebody that talks. And his speech will not be understood right away, maybe later. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? In fact, all these disciples, they don't get it so much. What's going on? What he's doing? You know, like, I like that, you know, because Jesus is above them, you know? So I want to keep him more like God-like. Yeah.
Emotions play heavily in this film. Jealousy, compassion, love, humility, anger. It's all there. It's all there. How did this roller coaster of emotions affect the cast and the crew?
Remember before I was telling you, Judah was with Jesus for three years and, you know, how does he betray? The other question is, those disciples, they were there for years before that supper. How can I make my actors that they meet 1 week before shooting, how we can create that connection? That is realistic.
So, in
doing the cast, I was trying to read through the personality of those guys and make sure that they have the open heart to become friend very quickly and bounding to each other. You know, sometimes an actor stay on his own, he has his own ego, blah, blah, blah. We couldn't afford that because
this
movie of communion, you know? And so when the actors came, they, in 1 week, they cover years of friendship with Jesus, you know? They were staying outside the hotel, talking and laughing and you know? And so when they come on the set, my first recommendation was, don't think yourself as a biblical character. Think of yourself as real. I want authenticity, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the moment that they land into thinking that they perform real, the whole thing start to have a different life. You know, I saw many other Jesus movie that they feel like Shakespearean, they talk. I feel like they're on a plane, a tear, very detached. And I didn't want to do that. I want my audience to feel they are real people and that my audience are there in that room with them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I want to, you know, bring them inside my set, you know?
That's great. I get the sense that Joseph of Arimathea was the family host who had Jesus for the upper room. Scripture doesn't talk about that. He's only mentioned when they talk about the tomb that Jesus is laid into. Is that part of the creative license that you use to say, this is where that connection between, you know, that Jesus and Joseph knew each other, had a good friendship, had a strong relationship, and that is why Joseph offered his tomb?
Right, exactly that. I had to figure it out, right? Because I want to give to the audience a little more to explore about this upper room, about this place. And I'm thinking, wait a second, who is cooking the food? Which house is that? And, you know, there are kids there, their family. So the first thing I thought is that it must be a big house. It's plausible because they have an upper room. So, yeah. And who can afford a big house? And I check who are the people that are rich enough that were supporting Jesus during his whole life. And I found out that Joseph and other, maybe a couple of other guys, they were around. But then Joseph is the one that 1 week later is at the tomb. So I'm thinking he probably is the richest guy and the one that is closer during that time. So my intuition was probably is the one that offering his house. And so I went by exclusion, let's say, you know.
It's great. It's an interpretation I don't think I would have thought of. But then when I saw it, I'm like, that makes sense. That makes sense to me. It really kind of came through. I thought, well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I even put a Nicodemus in there. It's just, and we had a great scene with the Nicodemus there. Do you remember we never mentioned in the movie who is Nicodemus, but there's a guy cutting the wood in the little plaza, you know, and he's sitting there, you know. I thought that could have been Nicodemus. I think Nicodemus and Joseph de Arimathea could have been together during the last week, the last moment when Jesus was still with them, you know. Mm-hmm. Same for Mary Magdalene. No gospel put Mary Magdalene into that right. Scene. In fact, I never have her stepping into the upper room.
Right.
She stopped at the door. So yes. I don't want to break the scripture saying, oh, she's in the upper room with them. She's not. Yeah. But it's very plausible that as one of the main followers and as the one that with Mary later on is at the cross, that she will be invited there, not to eat with them, but maybe with the family around. So it's a celebration, you know, so they all know each other. Those are the major followers.
That's a great way to bring it all together. So the movie's in theaters now. It was released March 14th. How long is it going to be in the theaters? And then after that, are people going to be able to see it on streaming?
Well, look, you know, it's going to be there probably during the whole Easter time. At a certain point, it will clash with the Chosen that will be released 2 weeks after our movie. I hope the two movies will dance together, let's say.
That's good.
And complement each other. Never like this coming Easter. Is offering to the audience such a rich understanding of the Easter time. So I will recommend for those that love Jesus, love the story, to go to watch that, both of them, right?
yeah, that'd be good.
And compare.
Yeah. As we're wrapping up, in the end credits, it says this movie is more than a story. It's an invitation to know Jesus. How do you hope that this will help people know Jesus better?
The same way me going into churches in Italy and watching those paintings and putting a face, sometime an image, to something that is just worth, you know, like that you hear, you know, in the church when they, and then you put the face, that's That is an invitation to enter into the world. I think stepping into that world for an audience, no matter what, will bring them close to Jesus. So I think, you know, and also remember the food and eating is one of the moments where our family stay together and come close together. So it's almost like be part of that dinner and that food preparation. I hope this will do something to bring additional memory, let's say, you know, to that moment. Put a face sometimes to those people, you know.
Yeah, and there have certainly been movies done about this topic before, but it's nice to have another one available to people to help them try to bring a new way to look at the story.
Yes, I know, absolutely, absolutely.
Very good. Well, we have been talking today with Mauro Borelli, director of the new movie, The Last Supper. It is in theaters now, so go check it out. Thank you so much for being with us today, Mauro.
Oh, thank you so much. Enjoy the movies.
Thank you. This is Chris Gunty, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.